Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is Legal Nurse Podcast 171, Nursing Home Litigation, What Caused the Fall? This is Pat Iyer with the newest edition of Iyer's Insights. Here is a story of a fascinating case. This nursing home case was reported in March 2018, that's this month, which struck me for several reasons. It involved a 61-year-old man who was a long-term resident of a nursing home because he had right-sided paralysis due to a stroke. His left leg was also amputated. On February 4, 2014, he became sweaty, nauseated, and had severe abdominal pain and vomiting. It was not until the next day that the paramedics were called and he was taken to the hospital, where he stayed 8 days with a diagnosis of severe dehydration. Upon discharge from the hospital, he was sent back to the nursing home. 4 days later, he fell from bed to the floor. He suffered severe and comminuted fractures of his leg at multiple intervals. Since he was not a candidate for surgery, he had to endure a lot of pain until the fractures healed. He left the nursing home after that incident and never returned. The plaintiff alleged he had 8 dehydration events that culminated with his hospitalization from that nursing home. He was critical of the defendant nursing home for having just a single employee assist him. Beyond a simple claim for nursing home negligence, he also presented a Residents' Rights Act claim based on the alleged violation of his dignity, hygiene, and family communication. He alleged there was a dual cover-up, that the nursing home was lying about their neglect not only to the plaintiff's family, but also misleading a state investigation into the matter. The defendants denied the allegations and denied the fractures were sustained in a fall. They argued they were pathological fractures and might have been sustained in a Hoyer lift while the plaintiff was in the hospital. The jury awarded the plaintiff $2.5 million on negligence and $1.05 million in compensatory damages on the residents' rights violation. But that was not all. The jury awarded $25 million in punitive damages. That verdict totaled $28.55 million in this Kentucky case that was called Cecil Gary versus McCracken Nursing and Rehab Center. This is an amazing case. I have no firsthand knowledge of this case. There are some of the concepts that I get out of looking at the defense. It sounds like they disputed that the fall in the nursing home caused the fractures, yet in my experience, pathological fractures are far less common than ones caused by trauma. Pathological fractures are caused by osteoporosis or cancer, such as multiple myeloma, which weakens the bones. They can affect any bones, but the stronger legs of the bone typically don't break without some kind of trauma. It also sounds like the defense tried to point to a hospital incident as the cause of the fractures. Here is where a sharp legal nurse consultant could construct a timeline of symptoms to pinpoint when the plaintiff began complaining of leg pain. Juries may react with anger if they feel the nursing home was attempting to cover up an incident. The punitive damages award was no doubt fueled by this kind of reaction. punitive damages awards are not very common in medical malpractice cases, and this punitive damages award is a huge one. There's also an unexplained mention in the case write-up of the plaintiff being critical of the nursing home for having a single employee help him. Was the fall due to low staffing? Should staffing be mandated in nursing homes? Before I continue, I need to share details of online training that directly addresses the setting of this case. Do you want to sharpen your skills in understanding nursing home litigation and liability issues? Are you a legal nurse consultant who has not worked in a nursing home, yet you need to assist attorney with nursing home cases? Are you a nursing home expert witness who wants to broaden your knowledge? I have online training called Hotspots in Nursing Home Litigation. It takes you into the world of nursing homes where documentation requirements, staffing, and regulations are markedly different than hospital ones. Learn from Barbara Johansson, she's an experienced nursing expert witness, about the specific regulations that govern nursing home care. You will become familiar with the standard of care and best practices so that you may be better able to evaluate liability, damages, and defenses for three hotspots in nursing home litigation: pressure sores, dehydration and weight loss, and accidents and incidents. You can get this online training at http://lnc.tips/NH litigation. That's all one word. http://lnc.tips/NH litigation. And use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount. Now let's return to the show. While the idea of mandating higher staffing in long-term care appears to have merit, this cannot be accomplished unless attention is given to those factors that are responsible for current staffing crises. Long-term care has an image problem. Isolated events paint a picture of nursing home staff as uncaring and in some cases abusive. Hospital nursing is perceived to be more glamorous, while long-term care nursing is often viewed as distasteful custodial care of confused older individuals. The nurses and nurses' aides in nursing homes have heavy workloads. Their schedules are often inflexible. There are many regulations affecting nursing care in nursing homes, which were instituted to prevent Medicare fraud and to protect vulnerable people. This has resulted in a lot of paperwork, preventing the nurses from having the opportunity to work as much as they would like with residents, and they are required to oversee the care provided by other levels of staff. Compounding the problem is the fact that nursing homes often suffer from a lack of managerial and clinical resources. Many managers are unprepared educationally for the roles that they have assumed. They are ill-equipped to mentor staff or to effectively communicate their needs to those in the organization who control the resources. Unfortunately, low staffing breeds low staffing. As staffing shortages become more evident, workloads increase and people become overwhelmed and they leave. Turnover is very costly to the nursing home. New staff have to be oriented and trained before they're permitted to work. In the meantime, their position is filled by staff who are working overtime or are temporary workers. In addition to all of the financial implications, a high turnover rate affects the morale of both staff and residents, and it interrupts the continuity of care that residents require in order to be able to receive a good quality of care. I got involved in nursing home litigation as a result of editing a book on this topic and became very familiar with the factors that result in lawsuits against nursing homes. It is often that nursing homes are sued because of clinical issues such as pressure sores, medication errors, or falls. But the root cause of many of these issues could be understaffing. Without specific staffing requirements that are relevant to the number and types of residents in the home, it falls on the administration of the facility to define adequate staffing and to provide that adequate staffing. There can be issues that result in pressures on nursing homes, such as cuts in reimbursement, dramatic increases in the costs of salaries, benefits, and liability insurance, so that the nursing home administrator faces a monumental challenge to attempt to meet the quality of care and quality of life needs of the nursing home resident. The case that I talked to you about at the beginning of the podcast represents a common liability concern in nursing homes. Injurious falls can result in fractures of major bones, including the hip, the arm, the pelvis, and the skull. It can result in paralysis from spinal cord injury, intracranial bleeding, which can cause decline and death. And we know that many elderly people are on Coumadin, and the administration of Coumadin worsens the injuries from falls. We also know that falls are common, and one study showed that there was an incidence of 1.6 falls per nursing home bed per year. You've probably seen that a fall can set in motion a spiraling series of events, starting with a fracture in a relatively mobile person, which then results in surgical repair, requiring the resident to become more immobile and at risk for pneumonia, pressure sores, depression, incontinence, and an earlier death. Falls cases are viewed by some attorneys as the most defensible types of allegations. The nursing home has an obligation to provide the least restrictive environment and to permit the resident to have some mobility. The first fall is usually the easiest one to defend. A resident with no prior history of falling, who's not at risk for falls, and has no documented change in status, may suddenly fall. A resident who falls out of a Hoyer lift may have contributed to the event by swinging or unexpectedly moving, causing the Hoyer lift to topple. The legal nurse consultant is involved in these cases by carefully looking at the circumstances of the fall, as well as looking at all the supporting documentation, such as care plans, interdisciplinary team meetings, incident reports, therapy, and nursing notes. These are complex cases that require a lot of analysis. Be sure to get access to the training called Hotspots in Nursing Home Litigation at this link, http://lnc.tips/nhlitigation. That's http://lnc.tips/nhlitigation. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on LegalNurseBusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month clubs. My membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at LNCacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.